Welcome to Badass Banking. Today I'm with Seth Fenster and Michael Banks of Blip. They're a startup out of Philadelphia, and they're focused on the bill pay problem that banks and consumers face.
So these are the co-founders of Blip. Now, do you go by Blip or Blip Labs? I know the official name's Blip Labs.
Blip Labs.
Blip Labs? All right. Blip Labs.
Yeah, but the product is Blip.
The product is Blip. So why don't we say, who wants to tell me? Tell me a little about your backgrounds. Let's start with Seth. Let's tell me about your background. Yeah,
sure. So I'm a lawyer by trade, but
a lawyer by trade. You can hang up right now.
No. Yeah, that's not the first time I've heard that. But I spent 2 years doing international tax consulting at a Big Four accounting firm, and I switched it up to pursue fintech.
This would have been a good time for us to mention Donald Trump's taxes. You could have said right there and there, I had to resign because the Donald asked me to.
Like to leave anything for the imagination.
And Michael, how about you?
Yeah, so Seth and I met when we were studying business back in college. And then following graduating, I went into a field of financial services, mostly helping companies navigate the IPO process, as well as ongoing public company messaging. It's kind of what I focused on out of school.
Mike's last name used to be Smith, but then he switched it to the bank when we decided to do fintech.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I have my name legally changed.
So tell me a little, and I'll start with you, Michael. Tell me why you jumped into fintech. What caused it?
Yeah, that's a good question. We really, both Seth and myself and me specifically jumped into this out of frustration, really, or even more so out of necessity, really with kind of managing our own finances and managing our own, way in which we had to pay bills. And it was really just a tedious process filled with a lot of friction. And we tried every finance app you can think of, every website you can think of, and none of them really made, financial management or bill pay any easier or more intuitive. And so that's really from my side why I just said, if no one else is going to do this, it's like, who better than somebody that's currently struggling with a problem like this? Seth, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, no, I echo that entirely. And it really just came down to it. We got tired of waiting for someone else to solve our own problem. And, we are our own target market. And we figured, let's just build the solution that we need. And as we started doing it, it quickly became clear that it wasn't just our problem. It was kind of felt widely, not just the two of us.
So describe your target audience. You guys represent it. Tell us more about the demographics that you guys fit into.
Yeah, it's primarily millennials, and this is maybe a fuzzy term. There's no set definition, but it's really that like 18 to 37 demographic, and we all expect digital experiences, and that extends to banking and financial services, and it's really what we're doing.
Yep, and you guys are frustrated at all the friction that's out there, what a pain in the ass it is to move money from point A to point B. Do you feel like your banks are disconnected to your needs?
Yeah, I certainly say so, Mike. Feel free if you feel the same, although I know you do. It seems like everything else we do and every service we use is custom tailored to us. And it's not that way in banking. And honestly, it's disheartening. I would think like, I need banking a lot more than I need social media, but all the social media platforms like to show me exactly what I want to see without me even really thinking about it. But my bank doesn't even really know that I have a student loan, and they just give me an offer for like a refinancing on a mortgage, which I don't have. And it just makes you wonder, like, are they even trying?
Yeah, I have absolutely agree. And I would add to the point that, especially for traffic, right? We've seen advancements in technology across the board and in all kinds of different industries that, I can log on to my Netflix account and they're able to tell me exactly what type of show I would watch based off of my own profile. But to Seth's point, my own bank can't tell me what products or services would actually be relevant to me. And so that the advancement hasn't really come in the banking sector or the financial sector in the way that, you know, younger people or people across the board have come to expect from other platforms and other services and industries.
So Seth, tell me a little about Blip.
Yeah, sure. Well, first and foremost, we're a Philly-based fintech company. And we really are, we have a simple goal, and that's just to create a bill pay experience that consumers can't live without, and one that saves them time and money, and one that a financial institution can use to connect with millennials and their local communities and really drive engagement to their products and services. The truth is that bill pay in the US is just awful and broken. And it really is that way for everyone involved, the consumers, the financial institutions, and the billers themselves. And it's just, again, disheartening and unfortunate, because paying bills is just a critical aspect of financial health. And you know, it's startling because in the US alone, we pay 15.5 billion bills and worth about $4.6 trillion every year. And that's a lot of bills and a lot of money flowing through a pretty broken system.
Yep. So Seth, let me ask Mike this. Get into some of the specifics. What's the problem that really Blip solves?
Yeah. I guess I would kind of frame the response or answer that question around a point that Seth just made, that the current bill payment system in this country is really awful. And so about 60% of people have forgotten to pay a bill on time. So that's not a stat about insufficient funds. That's not a stat about a lack of liquidity. That's solely a stat around people forgetting to pay their bills on time. And so the reason that that occurs is mostly because Americans on average pay about 7 bills per month, and they use about 4 different payment methods. And so the system is broken and the system is fragmented. So if you're to consider the current consumer choice, right, you have auto pay available to you. Now, the problem with auto pay is that it sacrifices control over your cash flow, and it really introduces risk of overpayment. So that's kind of the first bucket of what you can do to pay your bills. That's really not an ideal solution. And the second one is around manual payments. So this involves going to each of your billers' websites, up to 7 or more bills on any given month, like I just mentioned, remembering when each of these bills are due, logging into those biller accounts, entering the payment details, and then actually paying those bills. So there's a lot of friction involved with that process. And then the third would really be around the legacy bill pay systems that banks offer through their core providers.
I don't know what that said, but it sounded funny.
It was my Apple Watch. That, my apologies. I don't know where it was. Apologies.
Yeah, there's such millennials. Was your Apple Watch telling you how to bill due?
Yeah, it was my Apple Watch that bill pay currently sucks. So, as I was getting at, the third option is really around using your current bank's bill pay. But again, you have to input account numbers, add payee addresses. Again, none of this is easy. An important point to that also is that people want choice. They want to be able to pay their bills with their credit cards, with their debit cards. And so that way they can get cash back, they can get rewards, they can get points. And in traditional bill pay through core providers, that's not something that's really offered. And so Blip will really fix all of those problems for consumers. And in its simplest form, Blip, adding a biller in Blip takes only seconds. Blip will provide users with an aggregated view of all of their bills all in one convenient location.
It sounds more like bill management than just bill pay.
It's really, we think about it, not just solely focused on bill pay. And that's something that banks currently, the way they think about it is that bill pay is just an add-on feature to a checking account. And we really think that it's so much more than that. And we think that paying bills is kind of the core building block of your financial understanding or your financial picture. And so to your point, it's really financial management, but with an emphasis or focus on bill pay. And so that's really what Blip is able to provide. The other point I would make would be that consumers will benefit from proactive and specific marketplace offerings. So within the Blip app, within a user's bill feed, they'll have relevant products and services shown to them front and center that will allow them to quickly and easily compare their current rates from their billers and their banks to the banks that and financial institutions that we've partnered with, which will allow for quick and easy conversion for the users.
Okay, how about from a FI point of view? You know, what about the FI? Where do you fit into that picture?
Yeah, so kind of going off of the point that I made around how there's various payment methods currently available for consumers, this also directly impacts the banks or financial institutions. So currently in this country, the number of bills paid directly on biller websites represents about 76% of bills paid, with only about 22% of bills paid directly through traditional bank methods, whether it's a website or an app. And again, this is because of the friction that I just had mentioned about creating accounts and people wanting cash back on rewards. This is really relevant for the financial institutions because just about 7% of consumers are highly engaged with their bank, and about 1 in 5 people are completely disengaged with their banks. And so Blip will fix this for these financial institutions. So if you're paying on average of 7 bills, like I had mentioned, that's about 7 missed touch points with your banking institution. And so Blip will bring these consumers back to the bank to pay their bills. And so this is really providing the banks with an opportunity to re-engage with their customers, cross-sell their customers, and you know, build stronger and more lasting and meaningful relationships with those banking customers and clients. And I guess the only other point I would make too is that for the 22% of people that are currently using bank bill pay that I had just mentioned before, that's really a cost center for the financial institutions. So Blip will enable interchange for these banks on these transactions. So it's really turning bill pay from a cost center into a revenue stream or revenue generating opportunity for these banks. Seth, I don't know if you have any other points that you wanted to add on.
Yeah, to add to that, again, and this kind of raises the question of, you know, like, where do millennials fit into this? Like, why do two millennials care about this? And it really comes down to about only 30% of millennials even count a community bank or a credit union as a banking provider. And that's really a missed opportunity because those institutions really kind of form the bedrock of the banking, you know, kind of network of banks in the entire United States. And Blip really helps those FIs take advantage of this missed opportunity. And Mike touched on it before, but kind of just to bring it home, it's really in three ways. And the first being it really drives engagement to a younger audience. It's a digital first bill management tool. As we talked about before, it's more than just paying the bills. It's really managing them, seeing how your cash flow works relative to the bills that you have coming due, and then ultimately helps you pay them. And that, like Mike mentioned about the, you know, direct kind of proactive offers right in your bill feed, it gives the FI a chance to present their products and services directly to those younger millennial customers, right kind of where they are already, when they're in that mindset of, you know, like, I'm paying my bills, but maybe there's something I can do to lower it or, you know, just save money on it or do something, right? They're already in that mindset. And that kind of goes into the second one, which is really helps building relationships and building that FI's position of advocacy. So for example, think about how powerful an interaction with an FI that you're not even a customer of yet. You just, you know, you're going through, you're looking at your bills, you see you have an auto loan, right? And it says, refinance this auto loan with XYZ Community Bank and save X dollars over Y years. And it's like, you know, the thinking is before this bank is even, I'm even a customer of theirs, that they're already looking out for me. They're already saying, you know, like, this could save you money. And if you do this, this is how much you're going to save. And so it really builds that relationship with the customer. It increases those touch points, like Mike had said. And third, the obvious point is the interchange revenue opportunity. And that's, you know, mostly because with Blip, you can pay, it's more flexible than the traditional bank bill pay model. And really we support any payments that the biller themselves would accept. And so this is particularly useful for any FIs that are, you know, under the $10 billion in assets and that can take advantage of the higher interchange rates under the Durbin Amendment. And more importantly, consumers just prefer card payments. So it again increases that engagement because customers can pay the way they want to. And that's really the way we look at it, is it really fits perfectly for an FI. And it's not just about helping the consumers like we talked about. It's really about kind of bridging the gap between these consumers and these financial institutions, and really the gateway through that is bill pay.
So Mike, how concerned are millennials about, you know, cash management, money, financial services as a whole? Does it matter to them?
Yeah, I would say that as a millennial, I can say, you know, people are very concerned. I mean, recent data even shows that about 5 in 10 people even just get anxious when they think about their bills, and even just thinking about that.
I know my daughter does. I mean, she makes a good living, but she frets over the amount of bills and when they're due. For her, it's the challenges of when do I pay them? How do I pay them? And then are there ramifications from a cash management point of view or cash flow point of view?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a tricky and convoluted process, which again, Seth and I hopefully, you know, gotten the point across that, you know, if you have 7 or even less bills and they're all due at different times during the month, you have different payment methods. You have different opportunities to pay them at different times. You have late fees for some of them, grace periods for some of them. It's a confusing process. And it's really not just a spending problem that I think millennials or people have. It's really a problem of understanding your inflows and outflows. And it seems simple, but it's really, you know, there's really two sides of the equation. And about 60% of millennials are living paycheck to paycheck. And with a student loan being higher than it ever has, with credit card debt being higher than it ever has, with cost of living just generally being higher than it ever has, you know, it's a serious problem. And financial literacy is not something that's really taught in this country. It's something that you're kind of on your own. You have to talk to friends and family and do your own research to come up with a system that works for you. And that's really not an ideal solution. And that's obviously what Seth and I are trying to solve.
Seth, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, for sure. To piggyback off that, everything Mike said is 100% true. And we, you know, we kind of say it in this tunnel, like we know this is an issue, but then those issues and those problems, they compound, and then you throw something at us like COVID, and it's like without proper financial literacy and being able to understand your inflows and outflows, and then you know, whichever job you had, which wasn't really enough to cover the bills in the first place, is now in jeopardy. You're left there going like, what am I doing wrong? Like, the millennials, again, like, you know, we saw the 2008 financial crisis and we got that in the rearview mirror, and it's like we're chugging along, we get our degrees, we're getting in the job market, and it's like, oh, by the way, like the entire world's just going to shut down on you, and like good luck managing everything you have to manage, and then also like try paying your bills. Like, it's just, it's like, it's funny only because you don't know what else to do aside from laugh. And so again, like, just to reiterate, like, bill pay really is the core building block of financial wellness. And when you start pairing that with relevant product offers and you start being able to save time, save money, and setting, we really, you know, you set those millennials up for a better and smarter financial future. And it really comes down to this. And if you take away anything from listening to this, just want you to take away our philosophy. It's dead simple. So you really can't save, spend, or invest effectively without getting your bills in order. Everything starts with bill payment, and it all comes from there. And it's possible to make this better and make the future better financially. We just have to do it, and that's what we're doing.
Sounds like empowerment is part of your message to bankers and credit unions. You know, they need to empower their constituents, be it millennials or boomers or anyone in between. The forgetting, you know, we can't forget about Gen X. Everyone forgets about them, but me.
Right.
I remember. I sound like Donald Trump when I say that, but anyway, you know, it's there's a huge opportunity to create a real environment of empowerment and enable the young or the old or in between to take control of their financial destiny. And if you're a bank or a credit union and you can do that early in the relationship of a customer or prospect, I think the customer or prospect will remember you for it. Today, we have a bad habit of preaching financial literacy, you know, by calling people, in essence, financially illiterate. It's kind of insulting when you think about it. We all could use a little help when it comes to managing money. It's either a burden, we don't have enough money, or we don't have enough knowledge on how to leverage our financial relationships to their best. And so now there's a ton of opportunity. Now, are you guys going to sell through other bank providers and other technology platforms? Or are you going to sell directly to banks? And if so, what's that model look like? And if you aren't sure yet, let me know, because you guys are in a very early stage of startup.
Yeah, I'd say it's not that we don't know. We've thought of extensively about both. And I think it really comes down to, you know, we're all about empowering, and that means getting this type of, you know, product in the hands of as many people as possible. And so we're open to going directly to banks and working with them, or working with providers that, you know, work with banks indirectly. So at least from our point of view, we just want as many consumers benefiting from this as possible, and whatever way achieves that is the way we're going to do it.
Yeah. It seems to me that it would be in a bank or credit union's best interest to, instead of just advertising like a billboard or something like that, why not sponsor a bill pay solution like yours that's autonomous from the core, that allows the consumer to truly take control of their financial destiny, at least from a bill management perspective? I almost worry about the integration separately or at a different point. I mean, just provide that service to the audience. I mean, all the bankers that I know and credit union people say they want more millennials. Well, if you just put lipstick on a pig, I don't know if it's going to do it. I think you have to change your behavior and offer a different product and even market differently. And in some regards, I think the banks and the credit unions need to put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, agreed. And I'll tell you, as a millennial, I know Mike does the same, and I have plenty of friends that do. When I'm looking at a new financial product, first thing I do is go look at the website. And the second thing I do is go look at the app store, see what the app looks like. Like, is this a product that I'm going to want to use? Because really, when you have to think about it as an institution, the account that you're offering is not just the product. It's also the tools that I'm going to use to access that underlying product. And I care as much about that as I do about the terms of the loan or the terms of the account. You know, it's important stuff.
I know in my own case, you know, I have a lot of different bills. You know, sometimes it's because of stuff I do. Sometimes it's something the kids do, or sometimes something the wife does. It's nice to have one place to go to manage my money, to see what's coming in and going out. More importantly are the bills, though, because I like to have the control of deciding how to pay for it. I use my credit card. I rarely use, you know, an ACH direct debit approach to it. I like using points whenever I can. If a biller gives me the opportunity using my credit card, I'm going to take advantage of it because I want points. Last year, I think on my Chase card, I did about $2,300 in cash back. That's a ton of money. You know, that's a lot of money. And that included business expenses and stuff like that. With American Airlines, you know, when I was working with Strategy Corps, it was Orgizio. All my points went to, you know, upgrades, free trips, vacation discounts. I mean, very, very tangible discounts, but I had the control. So my bills were paid by that means. All my business bills went to American Airlines, with the American Airlines Citi card. I think it was Citi. Actually, I don't even know. It's just, to me, it was just the American Airlines credit card, even though it's powered by Citi or Chase. And then all my other stuff was Chase, you know, and the credit, my local bank and my local credit union, I don't use their bill pay. I have not used their bill pay in over 15 years.
Yeah. And a lot of that changed. That we were getting at again is around, you know, consumers want choice. They want to have the freedom to pay how they want. And to your point, they want to pay with credit cards. They want to pay with debit cards because they want to be able to rack up those points, those rewards and that cash back. And it's meaningful and it adds up. And if you pay hundreds or thousands of dollars worth of bills on a monthly basis, those points become very meaningful. And so the traditional or legacy platforms that are only enabling ACH transfers for bill payments is not allowing for the millennials or consumers across the board to pay bills in the way that they actually want to.
Gotcha. Well, I think you guys are onto something. I'm glad to see somebody's focusing on bill pay. I know there's a couple providers out there that are doing it. I think the traditional methodology of just plugging a bill pay component into the mobile app of an online banking solution isn't necessarily the way to go. Seems like bill management and bill pay gets kind of buried in it, still in very much of a tab environment, especially on desktop. And more people are leaning on their mobile to pay their bills as opposed to desktop. Dialing in a desktop is a pain in the you-know-what. So, yeah, I wish you guys the best of luck. I think you're on to something. I'll put all your information in the comments, both on Spotify and on YouTube. So if there are any bankers out there looking to try something new, they can reach out to you. And I think you guys will do well. It's exciting times. You guys are very bold to go out there, very bold to go out there on your own, by the way, right in the middle of a pandemic. Maybe slightly crazy. Yeah. I might have to edit that part out. I appreciate your time, guys.
I appreciate you having us.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, thanks for having us.